a Christian nation. Pericles built a civilization based upon a culture, and it failed. Caesar built a civilization based upon power, and it failed. Our forefathers founded our nation upon the Christian faith. And America will live as long as the Lord is our God. Amen?
Amen.
Our forefathers, they left a land where they were persecuted in order to find freedom of worship, to worship God in their own way, not according to the dictates of the state or the state-run church. When the pilgrims first landed at Plymouth Rock, they knelt down on that shore and they thanked God for giving them this new country and the new freedoms that it brought for them. The Christian faith and the Christian church were at the very center of every new settlement in America. Every one of them. When the Continental Congress faced great problems and difficulties, history tells us that Benjamin Franklin called the members of Congress to fall upon their knees and pray.
Amen.
Can you imagine what would happen today if our great legislative bodies prayed more and talked less?
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine? The picture of Moses was on the very first coin that was made in America. And today, we still have on our money the grand old words, "In God we trust." Amen. A South American president once declared, South America was settled by men seeking gold, and North America was settled by men seeking God. And what a difference it made. The Medo-Persians had a great nation, but they drank their way to doom in one drunken orgy after another, and that civilization came crashing down. Egypt flourished under Joseph, and 400 years went by, and the Egyptians forgot about Joseph and his God, and as a result, Egypt failed. Greece, under Alexander the Great, conquered the world. But Alexander the Great could not conquer himself. And he died in a drunken orgy, and the civilization of Greece came tumbling down. Rome was built by the proud ruler of the world, Caesar. But luxury and lust at the very center of the life of Rome is what doomed Rome to failure. America was built on faith in God, and if she turns from that faith, she will also be doomed.
Hallelujah, amen.
Do you recall the picture of George Washington at Valley Forge? We have that image for you. His little army was almost starving and freezing to death. Everything that they had held dear to them was at stake. They were fighting against insurmountable odds. But they're out in the snow. George Washington was down on his knees praying. That's the spirit that built this nation. That's the spirit that makes us what we are today if we still trust in God. So I want to just tell you, yes, America was founded, no matter what a lot of revisionists say, America was founded as a Christian nation.
Hallelujah.
The second point today, God has always richly blessed America. He's given us incredible natural resources. Today, the United States of America has become the number one producer of oil and natural gas in the world because of that new technology known as fracking. Our nation is rich in grain and in crop and wheat and corn that come abundant every year. We have fields and lands full of cattle and sheep. We grow every good meat that's good to eat, and I praise God for it. God's given us incredible natural beauty in this land.
Amen.
From the Rocky Mountains to the Smoky Mountains. From the rolling plains of Kansas to the beautiful shores and beaches of Florida and California. From the Redwood Forest, as the song says, to the Grand Canyon, to Yellowstone Park, there is incredible beauty in America. God has given us, some may laugh when I say this, but God has given us good government. He has. You see, we still have a free democracy. It may be really messy at times, and we're seeing some of those times right now. But we've tasted freedom through the years because we don't have a tyrant or a dictator ruling over us, telling us how to live. Despite what was heard last week by a young, uninformed congresswoman who declared last week, no matter what she said, can I tell you, we don't have concentration camps in America where people are sent to be tortured and die. God's given us great liberty in government. He's given us freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Even a press that is totally biased against conservative ideals. Even a press that is totally biased against Christian values. Even a press that seems so corrupt at times, it is still a free press. And I still have the freedom to say anything I please from this pulpit. And there's no law that muzzles me. Isn't that true? The media can blast half-truths and distortions about things that we hold dear. The media can blast half-truth and distortions about our leaders, even our president, without any fear of reprisal. If they did that in Russia or China, they'd be rounded up and thrown in prison or they'd be killed. But not in America. God has given us not only freedom in government and freedom of speech and freedom of the press, but He's given us religious freedom. Amen. Praise God for that. Whatever your belief is, however you worship, no one can come in and close your church because your religion doesn't measure up to what they think it should. But I will tell you this, we're speaking of religious freedoms. Our religious freedoms are being challenged today. They're being challenged by a godless culture that demands that we embrace the sudden new rights, the new rights of the homosexual and transgender community. We are perilously close to losing our values and our freedoms. We're perilously close to losing those things that we have had for centuries, that we refer to as our Judeo-Christian beliefs and values. We're close to losing them because in some instances, some folks want to criminalize what we say as hate speech. It's true. They want to criminalize it as hate speech. God help us. We must guard against and protect our religious freedom in this nation. God has also given us a country where everybody has a chance. I mean, everybody has a chance in this country. Thomas Edison was a poor boy. But the world today uses over 1,100 of Thomas Edison's inventions that came from his mind and hand and heart. America was a land that gave him a chance, didn't it?
Hallelujah.
Henry Ford was just a poor mechanic that became one of the world's greatest industrialists. There's another name that some of you may not recognize this morning. His name is Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell is the founder of a company called MyPillow. Anybody heard of that?
Yeah.
Mike Lindell was once a crack cocaine addict, and he found forgiveness and freedom in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Mike Lindell's company now employs over 1,600 people, and he has sold over 43 million pillows. He's even advanced into sheets and comforters for your bed, a bunch of stuff. Thank God Thank God for a country that provides equal opportunities. By the way, I said equal opportunities. Our freedom does not guarantee equal outcomes. Think about that for just a minute. It guarantees equal opportunities, not equal outcomes, though we've got some politicians claiming it should do both, and they're wrong. It gives us the equal opportunity to succeed, that any man or woman, if they work hard and they have new ideas and new dreams, they can be fulfilled in this nation. I thank God that He's allowed me to be born and to live in the greatest and grandest, freest land under the sun. Amen. Well, praise God for that. Finally, the third point today is that America needs God today. It does. Let me tell you, we have tried everything else in this great country. We have pursued pleasures until today we spend more on entertainment than any country in the world, just in pursuit of pleasure. We've reached out for wealth, and we've become one of the wealthiest nations in the world. But despite those things, America needs to repent of her sins and turn back to God. Amen. Years ago, we went off the gold standard. But that's not our problem. The problem is we've gone off the God standard. That's what's become the problem in America. Our current president, he's trying to rebuild the military. And he's trying to improve our defense. And I'm all for that. But I'm going to just tell you, the greatest defense we can make is our spiritual preparation. Let me say that again. The greatest defense we can make is our spiritual preparation. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know this verse well. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. America needs God in our government. Every public official, from the president on down to the lowest official, needs to seek the wisdom from the Almighty God. Yes. And we must pray for our leaders. The Bible tells us to do that. We're commanded by God to pray for our leaders.
Yes, we are.
On a Sunday in 1939, an American newspaper journalist was giving the account of Germans storming the gates of the city of Paris. And the people were in great peril. And the journalist wrote these words. He said, "More people went to church today in Paris than in any other time since the war in 1918. Amen. What a sad thing it is to say that it takes great peril in war to turn people's hearts back to God. Well, I ask this question, is America going to wait for something like that to happen? Is America waiting for something even worse than the attack on 9/11 that caused us to come back and call out to God and return to the place of worship? Surely, we ought to return to God today. We ought to be on our knees today seeking Him. So America needs God in our government. We need God in our homes, too. Oh, we do. Two men were walking down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. And one man proudly pointed to the Capitol building and he said, "There's the heart of our nation." But the other man interrupted him and says, "No, I don't agree with that." He said, "The heart of America is in her homes." I think that second man was correct. The heart of America is in our homes. See, the problems in our culture, in our country today, can all be traced back to the home and to the parents in that home. See, if God, in faith in Jesus Christ, is lifted up in the home, if the commandments of God and the principles of God are followed and talked about in the home, then the character and the hearts of the individuals in that home will reflect the character and the hearts of Jesus. Because they've learned that in the home. See, sadly today, Christ is left out of most of our homes. And you can see the results everywhere, can't you? America needs God in her homes, and America needs God in her schools today. Our schools once had a mighty influence upon our morals, upon our public life. Many of us can remember starting each day in our schools, saying the Lord's Prayer, saying the Pledge of Allegiance. But we've removed prayer from our schools. We've removed all references to God and His principles and His morality from our schools. So what we're doing is that we're molding young lives without any of the influence, without any of the standards, without any of the commandments or teachings or morality of the Word of God. That's how we're doing it today. Is there any doubt why our society grows more evil and more immoral and more godless every day? I'm going to tell you, when you leave God out of the equation, when you leave His Word out of the picture, when you leave what He believes and stands for you and me and how to live, you're going to have trouble. We see that. We see the results of that in our nation today. Finally, America not only needs God in our government, in our homes, in our schools, America needs God in our churches. In our churches. Some say, well, Pastor, what do you mean a church is a place where God and His people go? The problem is this. Sometimes we fill our churches with so many programs and campaigns and special events and stuff we're doing that we don't give anybody a chance to hear God. We're just busy, but we don't hear God. We're so concerned. In so many of our churches, we're so concerned that we're going to offend someone. So we water down the message. We bring a message that's milk toast warm, and we don't worry about the truth of the Word of God. And as a result, we should be bringing a message that brings conviction, that results in a sinner having a repentant heart and surrendering to Jesus. But unfortunately, the church has turned to this pattern of feel-good messages and just focusing on God's goodness and blessings and love without any regard to God's judgment and His call to righteousness for you and for me. Many years ago, on a Saturday afternoon, the Japanese bombed a medical missionary hospital in China. It was full of Christian missionaries and those ministering to the poor and the needy in that region of China. A number of people were killed in the air raid, and part of the hospital was destroyed. But the very next morning, on Sunday morning, the remnant of those that had survived, they all came together for an open-air worship service that was held out in the hospital yard. The congregation stood about in the holes that had been made by the bombs that had been dropped the day before. A little boy stood in the crowd who had lost his arm the day before. He lost his parents, that little boy standing out there in the worship group that morning. Another man was standing there who had lost his wife in the bombing the day before, but he stood there with everybody else. So many of them had suffered so much loss. When it came time for the pastor to pray, he lifted his voice. He lifted his voice and his heart to God, and he said, "Lord, we thank Thee that in the midst of war and suffering, there is peace in our hearts that nothing can take away. We thank Thee that no matter what happens to our bodies, our souls are safe." Amen. This once great nation is reeling under the burden of sin. This once great nation is reeling under the burden of disobedience and the rejection of the things of God. And one thing is certain, God will indeed keep our souls safe. Though the whole world may be falling around us, all will be well if we know Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. All will be well if we know Jesus. God is with us. If we trust in Him, if our faith is in Him, He is with us. He always has been. He always will be. So today,